Loveline starts now.
Everybody, it's Loveline. Dr. Drew here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Supposedly in studio is Be Real, Cypress Hill. They're promoting a Cinco de Mayo party at Vault 350. Check out vault350.com. That's probably about the last time I'm going to mention that if Be Real doesn't show up. He actually isn't like those guys. It makes me a little nervous that maybe he flaked on this in some way, because normally Bobo, I could see him not coming without a chaperone. But B Real is normally very responsible about things, so I hope he's okay, and I hope he shows up.
Way to go, B!
Yeah. Let's just, in the meantime, we'll take some phone calls. So here we go. This is Danielle. Danielle, what's happening?
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
I am calling tonight because I have a really personal question.
All right.
Let me see. I guess I learned how to have an orgasm when I was, like, 16.
Good times.
Yeah. And I like to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
And my only problem is that usually, like, it's really, really intense when it happens, but usually I end up, like, peeing at the same time.
Are you sure you're peeing? You're not just having an ejaculation?
Well, I ejaculate. I mean...
What's that?
In a normal position, it's way different. I'm pretty sure I'm peeing.
I bet you're not, but it's possible. There is something called female orgasmic incontinence. But
pretty sure.
Eat a bunch of asparagus, and you'll figure
it out.
You
could test it out. You can take some vitamins or eat some asparagus and see if it smells like asparagus. But because usually, I'll tell you why I'm saying this, is that orgasmic incontinence is usually in women that have had children who otherwise have stress urinary incontinence and have difficulty holding their urine when they sneeze and that sort of thing, while having an ejaculate, which can be a large amount of fluid, is something that happens more in younger women.
Okay, so. Well, I'm 28, and this has been happening, you know, for, 12 years now?
Are you with a boyfriend right now?
Yes.
Is he okay with it?
I guess. I don't know. Like, it happened one time, and, you know, he just mentioned, wow, that's so hot that you can get wet like that, and then, I don't know, I just confessed, I'm like, you know, I think it's pee.
No, I doubt it, Danielle. I know you're concerned that it is, but I bet you it's not. I bet you it's not.
No, and I think
interestingly,
it is.
What makes you so convinced?
Well, it's like it's so intense that, you know, even if I like make sure my bladder's empty beforehand, it still happens. But it's so intense, I can almost feel it happening. I don't know. It's almost like.
How could it be pee if your bladder's empty?
I have no clue.
The reserve tank, Drew.
Right. It's
She's got it easy. Lance in here, phone screener Lance, just told me that he had a girlfriend poo all over him when she was on top once.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lance, that's hot.
Tell me about that. No,
that's fabulous. But, Danielle, why did it only happen once? Why aren't you sort of recreating this for yourself more frequently?
What do you mean? No, it does happen frequently. I mean, but sometimes I don't urinate, and it's just plain cum. And I know the difference. You know, cum is, you know, more slimy and... He is not, so I don't know how else to put it, but is there anything that I can do differently? I mean, when I've brought it up to, like, doctors in the past, they just kind of look at me weird, so I just move away from the subject.
No, but when women are having incontinence, there's actually an operation we do to repair that, but I don't think that's what you're having, and certainly you wouldn't do any kind of the operative interventions for a woman that's never had a child, so the answer is no, there's not anything to be done. Clearly, your boyfriend doesn't have any problem with it. He said he was sort of impressed that he had produced this for you. You know, that's all often the way guys are. Here's B Real. I'm glad B Real got here just in time for this conversation. Put your headphones on.
All right.
Meet Danielle. She, Danielle, why don't you just fill B Real in again? Just give him a little thumbnail sketch, as it were, of what you were telling me.
Yeah, fill me in.
Okay. When I have an orgasm, I like to be on top. And it's really, really intense. And usually I end up peeing.
So what's wrong with that?
There you go. See? That's
you
a spontaneous reaction from a man just... Danielle, this man just walked in the room. That was his initial and honest impression.
I know guys that'll pay you for that.
Oh, my God. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear how I can stop this. I don't want to pee on my boyfriend, you know?
Yeah, but he likes it. Why is it? What do you mean it's not a good feeling?
It's not a good feeling to pee on my boyfriend.
Well,
I feel bad.
When this happens, have you had a lot to drink before that happens?
No, she actually empties her bladder. I'm not even sure she's urinating. I think she's maybe just ejaculating a certain amount of a thinner fluid than she's used to seeing, and sort of freaks her out, makes her think she's peeing.
She's gushing.
Her boyfriend is into it and is sort of pleased and impressed. Daniel, come on, relax. It's fine. Just take the necessary sort of, how can you say, you know, put the mud flaps up and stuff and do what you need to do to sort of make it seem less...
Your boyfriend's going to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
It's a talent. It's you're lucky that, you know, a lot of women your age have trouble, can't have orgasm with intercourse.
If he starts getting bothered by him, a raincoat. It's the same color.
So is that completely unheard of, though? I mean...
No, Danielle, it's very common. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh.
And you're not listening. You're so ashamed of it, you can't hear this. This happens all the time. It happens both as a result of incontinence of urine and as a result of orgasm, like a ejaculation. In either case, as B-Real in his opening volley with you, it sort of spontaneously brought forth, guys are into it, they're fine with it. Just sort of, you know, get the towels out and stuff, and that's that.
For the record, if you pee on me, I'm peeing on you. But I'm just saying that...
Doesn't mean he's not into it.
There's people that are into that, yes.
Well, I'm not into the whole golden shower thing.
No, I know. That's not. But listen.
But you're not receiving it.
But not only that, just the fact it's unlikely. You go ahead and test it. Take vitamins and asparagus, and you see if it smells like that when you do this.
Really?
And yeah, probably will not be. It's going to be something from your Bartholin's glands, which is a thin fluid that's emitted at orgasm.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, get over it.
All right.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right. There we go. B-Real, Cypress Hill, welcome back. Good to
see
you.
Thank you very much. Sorry I'm late.
I know, you're never late. I was just saying that in the air. You're never late. So, I mean, it was Bobo or something. You're like, okay, what are you going to do? So Cinco de Mayo,
yeah.
Vault 350 in Long Beach.
Once again.
Vault350.com. It's a Friday night this time. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a Friday night this time, yeah.
Okay. And any sort of homage to the recent immigration issue?
I mean, we're just, you know, calling people down there to have a good time. You know, take their mind off of all
the
seriousness, politics. I mean, you know, people are going to come represent for the culture and all that stuff. But, you know, basically, you know, come have a good time. Take your mind off all the craziness going on right now.
Yeah. Where do you ring in all that?
You know, it's one of those, it's a fine line, you know. My mother was an immigrant and everything, coming from Cuba and all that stuff, and it took her a long time before she became a citizen. So I could see both sides, you know,
It's funny, I'm not accusing you of this at all, but it feels to me like the reason that we are resisting going ahead with this bill is the resentment of the people who had to go through the traditional path, but it is resentment that's holding us back.
A little bit, yeah.
And it's almost like we need to just like, yeah, I know, but we just got to get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, a fine line.
Yeah.
You know, both sides have their, good reasons and everything.
As with many things, but I think we just got to get on with it. And how did Greatest Hits from the Bong do?
It did. You know, it was our last record with Sony. We're no longer with Sony, so, you know, they put the minimum behind it, and we got the minimum results. But that's all good. I'm working on a solo record right now.
Nice.
Before we go back into the studio as Cypress.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so.
You guys going out on tour or anything?
We got a few dates lined up and stuff like that for Cypress, but everybody's focused on their individual projects right now. Muggs is working on this guy's record named Mitchie Slick for his label, Angelus Records. Bobo's working on his project, and, Send Dog is working on he just completed a record with his brother Mellow Man Ace called The Reyes Brothers. So everybody's pretty much busy right now doing their individual projects. I'm trying to knock mine out and get it out by late summer sometime.
Oh, cool. Great. Well, I'll take a few more calls. This is Melissa.
Hi, Dr. Dre.
Hey, Melissa. What's happening?
I called you
Be
Dr.
Real.
Dre.
What's happening?
Well, Friday night I went out with my mom and my brother and some friends for my birthday. And I woke up Saturday morning in some old guy's house.
What do you mean, old guy?
Like 50.
Somebody you didn't know?
Yeah, someone I didn't know.
Wow.
Oops.
And he kept screaming at me, telling me that nothing happened. But when he was saying this, he was handing me my underwear and my pants. Well, my boyfriend's in jail, so I told him what happened. And he doesn't really believe me. And I know he listens to your show, so I figured...
So we're going to give him a shout-out and say, what penitentiary...
She got roofied, man.
What penitentiary...
No light on her.
Yeah, but the problem is he's going to then go after the guy. We don't know if the guy did anything.
Well, I did went to the hospital, and they did take a blood test, and they did find the date rape drug in me.
Oh.
So... he's not really happy, but he's still not really sure if he should believe me or not.
I'm not really sure either. What date rape drug are you talking about?
They gave me, like, medical term names. I wasn't, not really sure.
Well, there's not really a way to test for that. Not, certainly not in blood.
So I don't know. They just told me that I was drugged.
I have a hard time believing that, but okay. And what is your mom?
They took pictures because I have bruises on my thighs and in my vagina area.
And what did your mother and brother say who were with you all night?
They never seen me leave. And I was the one that drove everybody down there, so they knew I wouldn't have left them down there. And if I was going to leave, I would have told them I was leaving.
You just left them down there?
Yeah, they said I left. They waited for me like a half hour after the club closed and everything. And
oh, you were in a club. Were you letting guys buy you a drink?
Yeah, I let guys. Well, everybody was buying me drinks.
Hear that, young ladies?
Yeah.
Don't let guys buy you drinks.
Not unless you bring a taster with you.
Yeah, bring
somebody to taste your food and drink before you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Melissa, that's an awful story.
That's terrible.
Mean, yeah.
My boyfriend kind of doesn't believe me.
Well, you know, it's...
It is a little far-fetched, and it seems a little processed to me, too. I must tell you, Melissa, as though you're putting this together for the boyfriend's consumption tonight.
It's a processed story. I mean, it's not unbelievable, because it happens, but I think if you really didn't initiate it and you don't know happened.
Yeah, let me ask you more questions. Who'd you talk to in the emergency room?
I talked to the nurse and then a doctor and the policeman.
Didn't we talk to social services?
No, I don't know if I was...
And what kind of examination did they do?
They did swabs and blood work.
That's it?
Yeah. And
no.
Pictures.
Nope. Well, that's not a rape exam. So
you're fat.
So, Melissa, what actually happened?
That's what really happened. I woke up, I don't know.
But why didn't the doctor do a forensic examination on you?
I have no clue.
Was it a dupe lacrosse player?
Our hospital's retarded.
Now, if the police show up, they ask for a specific set of criteria, procedure you have to go through.
If they were looking for a drug, wouldn't they do, like, a urine sample?
They do a urine sample. And now that, they comb through the pubic hair. They do all kinds of very specialized, kinds of screenings. It's very, very specific.
I took a shower before I went.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, but they kind of got mad at me for that.
What's your boyfriend in jail for?
Heroin.
Oh.
Yeah.
And are you an addict, too?
No. Never did it. Never going to do it.
Hooked on roofies now, though.
Yeah. Well, I if this did happen to you, I'm very, very sorry for you. And I did the right thing, at least to go to the emergency room and get it checked out. If this did happen, the boyfriend need only check with the hospital to get the medical record. Mm-hmm. And he can see what happened there. And Melissa's boyfriend, who's in the penitentiary... All you need is her permission to get the record. Go look at the record, and you can see there should be a complete report of what happened that night and what she reported to them. So if you have any doubts about it, there should be a complete record at the hospital. And if that's there, Melissa's boyfriend in the penitentiary, then I'd believe her. And then you should just calm down about this. Nothing she can do about it, except maybe, certainly learn not to accept drinks from people in a public place.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else, for that matter.
Never going out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't accept those drinks. She could be just appeasing the boyfriend, through the air.
Well, that's what I think this is. But if there's a medical record, there's a medical record. You can go check it out.
For getting down with the wrinkly sack old man over there. Stop it.
Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
You're on Be Real.
Yeah. What's going on, man? What's going on, Dr. Drew?
Mark.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, so basically what happened is more than a month and a half or so, I was on Newport Beach in a bar. And I was talking to this girl. Her name was Felicia. I don't know if I'm supposed to say name, but...
You can stop with it at that point. No more.
I'm sorry?
No more names.
No more names?
But go ahead.
All right. So we went out. We went out outside the bar. We went to her place. We sat there for about, a good hour and a half, just talking. And then she told me she was a post-op transsexual. And at that point, I just freaked out. I just, went in my car, just went home. I was shivering. I couldn't believe it. But about, a couple of days after that, I started, looking up pictures and videos, pornographic material related to that sort of thing. And for some reason, I think it's getting me off. So I just want to know what's wrong with me. Is there something wrong with me, or I know I'm not gay, that's for sure. But
what is it that attracts you to these types?
What is it that attracts me?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what it is that attracts me. I just look at it, and it's definitely not the male organ, but...
Well, there is no male organ. What are you talking about?
No, not the male. What I'm looking at is just not the post-ops. I was just looking at straight transsexuals that are, I guess, pre-op.
Pre-op transsexuals. Oh, that's kind of nice. And that was getting, you know, that kind of... Well,
right.
Let's hope it is just one of those... You know, sometimes guys need weird arousal to sort of distract them. You know what I mean? They get into weird stuff once in a while.
Some weird curiosity.
Right. Do you have a tendency to sort of porn addiction, Mark?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a tendency to be addicted to porn, even just a little bit?
I would say a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because guys, when they go down that porn path, they start getting used to things, and they start looking for more weirder, different. And that's sort of how porn addiction goes, and that's how they end up with kids and, you know, stump porn and weird stuff, is they need higher and higher levels of arousal because they get sort of desensitized to the usual thing.
Wow.
So I'm going to hope, Mark, that's what that is for you. But be very, very careful here. You're going down a path, and if you find yourself sort of unable to stop looking at porn and you're sort of wanting to have flesh meetings with people that are sort of dangerous, that when you're having consequences from the porn looking and you're maybe withdrawing from other activities, you may need treatment for that.
He may be having to hang out with Johnny Gill and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, what happened?
Himself a party.
What happened? I don't know what that is.
Well, you know, Eddie Murphy picked up one of those, you know...
Types.
One night, and he got in a bunch of trouble for it. You know, these guys can make a party of it. What are you going to do?
Leroy.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, nothing. I guess my problem is, like, I play a video game called World of Warcraft, and, I mean, like, I've been dating this girl for, like, 2 years, and, like, I mean, I love her, and I'm attracted to her, but I just can't, like, if I'm doing something in the game, I can't stop to have sex with her, but I'm always doing something in the game.
My friend, stop right there. Video games and a piece. I don't know where your mind says that, but the balance to me is you get rid of the damn video game.
You know what happens, Leroy, is that people that get into like the video poker and video game stuff like to dissociate. They literally go into sort of a quasi-dream state, sort of a trance. And in that state, you're disconnected from any bad feelings you have. If you're the kind of person who feels depressed or can't regulate your feelings, this is a way that you feel sort of good. And the more lost you are in that, the sort of better you feel. And it could be brought back to a real relationship is like, ugh.
It's like an outlet.
It's almost like you'd rather be asleep or in a dream. And that it's an outlet, but it's a disconnected outlet from who you, from reality and from yourself. And that suggest that you've got some stuff going on emotionally, Leroy. Did you have some trauma growing up or something?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing MMORPGs when I was, like, in sixth grade.
No, I mean, trauma growing up before that. So your family break up or somebody died? You see something awful? Or?
Yeah, my dad died when I was, like, 3.
There you go. Did you have to witness something?
No, I just, you know, I never knew him growing up and stuff, and so...
How did he die when you were 3? What happened?
He got hit by a car walking across the street.
Were you there?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked anybody where it happened?
Not really. Me and my mom don't talk about it.
Why don't you ask where it happened? I wouldn't be surprised if you find out that you were in or around or had to watch a lot of horrible things when your mom found out. Did you ever, when you were, say, young child, did you have recurrent nightmares?
I don't remember, really.
Think about these things. I think you're going to find something like that is underlying all this. That's kind of the recipe for Leroy. That sort of sets it up.
Shut everybody out right quick.
Yeah, he just sort of shatters at that young age, and then they never develop the capacity to regulate again, and here's this way to escape.
Yeah, so that they don't deal with, so they don't have to deal with all the crazy stuff going on around them.
Right. Speaking of escape, let's talk about paintball. Alex, what's happening?
All right.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I was wondering, I saw B-Real on the TV the other day. I was wondering how long he's been playing paintball professionally.
I've been playing for about three and a half years, something like that.
Speaking of escaping, he got sucked in big time fast.
Yeah.
He was just taken. Boom.
It was a bigger addiction than, well, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, man. Once I played, the adrenaline kicked in and, you know. I had to have it. Every weekend we play, we practice for every tournament that comes up. We're actually going to a tournament in Tampa on the 17th, 18th. And, you know, I continue.
So there you go, Alex. Is that it?
Yep.
All right. You're welcome. Nick, what's happening?
How you doing?
Good.
All right, I got a question.
Yeah?
All right. I was stationed overseas, and I was able to get on a computer a couple times. And I read something on an internet site one time about a G-spot in the female.
Yeah?
I was wondering, is that a real thing, or is it like a myth?
Be real, what do you think? Is there such a thing as the illustrious, the elusive Grafenberg spot?
That's
yeah,
what
I
they say.
Know if that's real or not.
I happen to believe it's real.
I happen to believe much ado about nothing, though, in the sense that all women have a cluster of nerves back there. I'm not sure they get varying degrees of stimulation of that, depending on the woman. For some women, it's almost a nothing. For others, it's everything.
Yeah, it depends and, on,
okay,
well,
on that, like, woman, yeah. That woman.
I'm married, right? And
for your wife, it's obviously a myth.
Well, yeah, I've, like, tried, and, like, anytime I try to touch it or, you know, like, doing
what
it.
You're saying, what you're saying, Nick, like every good young man trying to figure out his wife like a Rubik's Cube, you can't make her have an orgasm with intercourse, right?
He's on the hunt for Red October.
I'm just wondering what...
You can.
If
fakes it.
Spot is, like, real, because I've heard that some women, like, and I've read that you... Some women, it makes them, like, you know, come, like, you know, like a lot. You know, like,
mean have a large orgasm or have an ejaculate?
Like an ejaculate. That's what.
Well,
I'm
saying. That's yet another thing. That's probably not related to the G spot.
Okay, because I was just wondering. I've read a lot of stuff about it, and I was just wondering.
Yeah,
if
just happened to come across the computer twice. Now it's like, oh yeah, I've read everything. I've spent all my did my thesis on the G spot.
It's like you said. It probably affects certain women. With the results that you want, and others, it probably doesn't affect.
And
that
look,
way.
And Nick, you said your wife is having orgasm with intercourse.
What's that?
You said your wife is having orgasms with intercourse?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no problem there. It's just...
Okay,
you know,
that's already ahead of the curve.
Every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, relax, buddy. That's ahead of the curve. You're fine.
I mean, if she's asking him to find the G-spot...
Well, go a spelunk, and that's fine. But let's take a little break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Got B-Real in here from Cypress Hill. Cinco de Mayo celebration Friday, Vault 350 in Long Beach. You had it there before?
Yeah, we had it there last year. We didn't do the 420 last year, and we ended up doing the Cinco de Mayo, which is the same thing we did this year.
It's so funny. They said they have this whole thing about your band here, and with the newest member, Eric Bobo. I'm like, newest member? What the hell? What are they talking about?
Oh, yeah, he's 10 years new.
17 years ago.
12 years new in the game.
Oh, my God. All right, again, that phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. Talk to Be Real. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Be Real in here from Cypress Hill. Tomorrow night, Godsmack, and then Danny Bonaducci. Next week, Jeff Probst, Hoobastank, and you guys have got a Cinco de Mayo event coming up.
That's right. Vault 360, Friday night.
At Vault 350 or 360?
360.
Ooh, it says 350.
Oh, maybe.
Here.
Okay, it's 350. I'm wrong. And I didn't even smoke anything before I got here.
That's the problem. And you guys have a website up going up to keep track of what's going on with Cypress Hill?
Yeah, we have a few websites. There's BeRealOnline.com. There's DJMugs.com. And then, obviously, this new MySpace thing. Cypress has a web page there to inform anybody of albums, shows, anything we got going.
Excellent. Take some calls. 1-800-LOVE-191. Ava, what's happening?
Hi.
What's up?
Hi. I just wanted to thank you because I've been listening to your station since I was 18, barely 18. And, I mean, I was molested when I was 11. My whole family was molested. Wow. My sister was raped. And just by listening to you, like, made me
feel like you weren't alone.
Yeah.
You doing okay now?
Yeah, I'm doing, like, way better just by listening to you. You know?
Oh, good.
That's what the good doctor's for.
Yeah. I mean, at first I thought that, you know, I was actually going right, but after, like, listening to all the talks you gave in the station and everything, like, you're so realistic and positive, and you just say how it is, you know. That's
great.
That's all. I just wanted to thank you for that.
The trick is, Ava, now from here is to go out and have a real relationship. with a good person, not somebody that's acting, that allow you to act out all that old crap, but just a plain old person.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah, just to like succeed better in life, you know, and look at things way better the way they should be.
Cool.
And not the way you just think it could.
Great. Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye bye. Time to start listening, goddammit. Jamie, what's happening, Jamie?
Hi. I wanted to ask you a question. I've been with my boyfriend for like two and a half years. And even we live together and everything, we have sex on a daily basis. But even now when we have sex, I feel like I'm really tight and it hurts, like almost like I'm a virgin. And we have to take it really slow, like take a break and everything like that. But even now it really, really hurts really bad.
She's
like,
swollen?
I feel like I'm too tight to have sex or something like that.
Is there any anatomical sort of mismatch here? You know what I'm saying?
Well, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
She doesn't know. You'd be real trying to,
I have a really big dick.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, the thing about it is that it wasn't like that in the beginning of a relationship. When I was having sex with him before, it wasn't like that at all. And
are you having a dryness problem?
I'm sorry?
Are you having any dryness?
Dryness, no.
Is there, are you wanting
to I want to have sex, but when it actually comes into, like, contact, I feel like I'm too tight for him to put it in.
Is the fact that this has been painful up recently making you nervous, and so you get anxious when the time arrives and you sort of clamp up?
Well, kind of. I mean, I kind of get frustrated, you know, because I want it to have sex with him, and then when it goes into doing it, it hurts really bad. So, of course, I always have in the back of my head, like, why is it going on?
But, well, what, probably what it is.
Yeah, what you're describing is something called vaginismus, which is the muscles in the floor of the pelvis constrict and get very tight. And it can
say
be
that
pain.
Again?
Vaginismus. Pelvic floor muscles.
That's a very cool word.
You like that?
Yeah.
You sing about that one of these days?
I'm going to try.
Vaginismus?
If I could put it in a sentence.
And so, you know, if it's most common cause, Jamie, is anxiety. And so being fearful that it's about to happen will make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a similar thing to orgasm, erectile dysfunction in young males. Sometimes they get so freaked out about it.
So freaked out, yeah.
It's kind of mental kind of thing. Because that's what I was talking to my friend about it, and she said, you know, maybe you're just...
sometimes
exactly
it's
exactly what
sometimes.
You guys said. But the thing that I was thinking about it is, why did it even start in the first place? Because it wasn't... He's the only guy I've been with, and it wasn't like that in the beginning at all. And then
is there anything you want to tell me? Have you ever sexually abused or raped or anything like that?
No.
Mm-hmm. No?
Maybe you were just stressed out before all this stuff happened in the first place.
Mm. If I'm by something else, and then it started happening, and then you started freaking out that it's happening.
But, you know, you can always go roll a fat one up before it goes down and relax yourself, young lady.
Are you guys using lubricants?
No.
Maybe you ought to just try that first, see if that helps.
Okay. Now
if that doesn't help, then go roll the fat one.
We've tried that too, but
I'm only joking.
That thing that you said, what'd you say it's called?
Vaginismus.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like do I need to go and get medicine for that, or is it really just like a mental thing?
Yeah, I mean, there are treatment orientations that sort of look at it as a spinal reflex that gets kind of out of control, but I don't know. Usually that's not something that sort of develops late in the game, at least not my experience. So I would talk. Certainly you should get checked out, make sure there's not something else going on causing this to trigger something, a pelvic infection or something else.
Boring. Just have him read poetry to your vaginismus.
Audrey, what's up?
Hi.
What's happening?
I've been with my boyfriend for about 8 months now, and almost every time we have sex, I have an orgasm, but once in a blue moon, I'll have an orgasm that just, like, seems like it's so huge that it makes my left leg cramp up really bad. And it happened today, and it was really bad. Like,
that's a small price to pay there, Audrey. Come on now.
Pain for pleasure.
It made my foot hurt really bad. Like, the arch of my foot started hurting, and it felt like my foot and my leg was...
it's a muscle spasm. You got to learn to try to relax when your lower extremities when you're having that, so the muscles don't clamp up.
His muscle is making your muscle spasm.
Not much you can do about that, Audrey.
Go get a massage, for Christ's sake.
Okay.
Exercise. Yeah, we can work it out more, and maybe the muscles will sort of be less apt to the spasm that way. Sally.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, well, I had a question. Okay, like, there's this guy, he's not my boyfriend or anything, but we, like, started having sex recently, and, the first few times I had sex with him, it was fine. I'd had sex before, I was in a virgin, and I didn't bleed or anything, and it wasn't, it didn't hurt. But after that, like, after the fourth time, I started to, like, it was very painful, and I started to bleed, like, he, like, would tear me, and I don't know what, like, why it changed all of a sudden.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not what it says up here. You have the screeners to talk to Sally once again. Let's see. That's so far from what the original question was. It makes me not believe it. Connor, what's happening?
Nothing much. I just wanted to say hi to Cypress Hill, and he helped me and my sister through really bad times when we were little because my mom used to beat us.
Eesh.
She used to be a major alcoholic, and she still is, and we're going to go see her in the summer.
Where is she now?
She's in California.
What's she doing?
She is getting her degree in her master's or something like that.
So she's better now.
Yeah.
All you guys are better now.
Mhm.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
How about your sister?
She's doing really well.
Well, shoot, I'm glad, you know, that we were instrumental in helping you that way.
I hope, Connor, I'm a little confused. Are you living with your dad?
Yeah, I live with my dad in Monroe, Washington.
And is your mom sort of looking after you still? You still have a relationship with her?
Yeah, I do.
And she's sober now, right?
Not really. Sometimes she'll be drunk.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's not good. Do you know what she's getting the master's in?
Science.
Huh. Interesting. All right, Connor, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, kiddo.
She needs to check the science of the alcoholism.
I'm just praying to God it wasn't nursing or something. Stephanie.
Oh, hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Stephanie, what's happening?
Okay, there's this guy that goes to my school and everything, and we're not, like, really close, but anyways, to get to the point, I had oral sex with him, and, like, ever since then, it was, like, a week ago, so it was, like, really recently, and I don't get, like, really sick easily, and, like, I've been, like, really, like, coughing, and, like, my throat, like, really hurts, and, like, it's, like, really gross, and I haven't went to the doctor, but, like, I've just been really sick, and I don't know if that could be from, like, do you think I could have STD or anything, like...
I don't. I think you just got a flu or a virus of some type, okay?
He was tonsil boxing.
Yeah, every 16-year-old that shows up with a cough and a sore throat, I'm not thinking STD.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, Stephanie.
Okay, I'm just...
What STD... Tell me, what STD do you think you have?
I don't know. That's why I wanted to call you, because...
Well, just let's speculate for a second. What STD presents as a cough?
HIV, I think, for sure.
Yeah, but a few years later. Immediately following a...
Check the gag reflex.
I was just worried, because I don't get really sick easily, and it, like, happened right after, like, 2-3 days after...
It sounds like AIDS, Drew.
Does the young man have any kind of viral condition?
No, but he gets sick a lot, so...
Right, so he trained you can catch a virus from him just the way you can, you know, get a cold from anybody else.
It's like sucking snot out of a penis?
It's Anderson, thanks for that poetic sort of image.
It's very poetic.
Yeah. Elias.
Yes.
What's happening? You're on with Be Real.
Wow, it's a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Drew, from the beginning. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So,
hello.
I just wanted to know, I wanted to ask Vera, what does it take to become a professional? Because I've been playing this sport for a year and
paintball.
I really love this sport. Yes.
Well, you know, you gotta play in the lower divisions for a while and eventually get your experience in the game and... you bump up in the course of time, you know. You start off as a rookie. A year later, you go into novice. A year after that, amateur. A year after that, you know, semi-pros. And so you just got to stick with it. Find the guys that you play.
You have to sort of rate at a certain level in order to move along?
Yeah, your ranking has to go up, you know. As far as when you get to the higher divisions, like Division One and semi-pro and all that stuff, you know, you just... you find the guys that you can play with well on the field and communicate with and, you know, get your skills up and try to work together and get your team out there and get your rank up. But, you know, it takes a while, you know. Not everybody, you know, turns pro right away unless you're that good and a pro team scouts you from another team and picks you up.
Hey, Ryan, what's up there? You're on Be Real.
Hello?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, man? Okay, so I got a serious question. I'm attracted to bigger women. I actually have a girlfriend that's bigger. I've dated women that are skinny, right? But I for some reason, can't really be attracted to them. You know what I mean? And I just want to know why. Like,
how big is big?
Look, why is the world round?
I mean,
how big?
How you answer that question, man? I mean,
give me a weight.
Weight, 250 maybe.
Okay, so huge. You like really big women.
Yeah.
Everybody has their individual, you know, tastes.
Yeah, it's really not completely understood what creates tastes. It really isn't. And it's good that different people have different tastes, and that's what creates the ball game. There were different people attracted to different things. And Ryan, you've got your sweet spot, so to speak, and there you go.
Big girls need love too, man.
There are, yeah, I mean, you could, you know, a psychoanalyst could slog through your history and sort of figure out why you're attracted. And in the course of developing, you know, a therapeutic relationship, your attractions might change, but why change them? If you're okay with them and you like certain things and your relationships are healthy and successful, enjoy.
Are your friends giving you, you know, a hard time because you like big chicks or what?
No, it's more like, okay, so my girlfriend, she asks me that question all the time. And it's like, I don't even know how to answer it other than just keep telling her I like bigger women.
Wait, what's the question you're asking?
Is she big or is she small?
She's big.
Oh, well, what is the question she asked you?
Why you like me? Why you think I'm beautiful? Why you think I'm hot?
Does she got money?
Hot? No.
No.
So, I mean, I just try to keep telling her the same thing, you know what I mean? But it's...
Buy her some roses and a box of jelly donuts and you're cool.
You could theorize that you saw... attraction is the funniest damn thing. I see again and again the things that are sort of overwhelming in childhood become very attractive in young adulthood and adolescence and whatnot. And so things that, like, for instance, if you're sexually abused, you start being attracted to people that are perpetrators. If your dad is an abusive alcoholic, you're attracted to abusive alcoholics.
If your dad likes fat chicks?
Well, but you wonder if it's more symbolic of something, you know, I don't know, something else, or maybe pregnant or something, or some sort of symbol of something that sort of, it's very in a primitive way, attracts him. Whatever, it's fine. It's good times.
Yeah,
okay,
good times.
We're going to take a break. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. Be Real in here tonight on Loveline. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. Be Real in here from Cypress Hill. Let's see if I get this right. Vault350.com. Vault350 in Long Beach. Cinco de Mayo celebration. Show up, and you guys are going to play, yes?
We are playing.
And anywhere else Cypress Hill can be heard or seen coming up?
Right now, everybody's, like I said, working on their projects, so we're just doing shows here and there.
Nothing else scheduled just yet?
We have something in Maryland at the end of May. Where else? There's a couple places. They can check it out on our websites.
Is there a CypressHill.com website?
Yeah, there is. But, you know, Sony's running that, so it's almost like it's non-existent.
And
so,
you've got one?
Yeah. They can go on BeRealOnline.com and find out. Online. Or DJ Muggs or something like that.
Excellent. Here's John. What's
up? You guys know why it's called the Vault?
It used to be a bank.
Right.
Hey, trivia. Yeah, it's a very nice place. They still have all the vault intact on the bottom.
Wow.
Like all the safe...
Safe deposit
stuff.
Boxes, yeah. Down there. Oh. John. Hey, hello. John.
Hello?
Here you are.
Hey. I got a question. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yep.
It's about my porn addiction, actually.
Cool.
I'm completely addicted to every type of porn there is.
Even grandma porn?
Yeah, actually. Transsexual, gay, bi, lesbian, teen.
Okay. Whatever.
Wow.
And, well, I'm getting really bored with my girlfriend. I've been with her 4 years.
Ooh.
And I'm completely at a standstill. Sex is not fun. I don't enjoy it, and I want more. And I don't know if I should, and I don't know if I should tell her about this or what the hell my problem is.
Tell her about the porn addiction?
I want to do the things on the porn. I've done most, and I want to participate more.
With her or, you know, other people?
With her, other people, everything.
What specifically are you referring to?
Everything. I want to have sex with more girls, more guys,
individuals,
everything.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Are you bipolar?
I've never been diagnosed.
Maybe, John, you just need to break off this relationship and go out and date and meet some people. Maybe you'll have less sort of bizarre and uncontained impulses.
See, that's the thing. I'm completely in love with this girl.
You're completely in love with her, but you're not into her sexually.
And you want to have sex with guys and other girls.
Everything.
That's a lot of love.
Yeah, got a lot of me to love.
What do you want, John? What do you want from us? I didn't really get a question.
What's my problem? What's my addiction? Is it, why do I enjoy transsexuals, men, teens?
Well, most commonly, people, the most common reason people need that sort of overwhelming kind of stimulation is that they had something happen to them that sort of burnt out their capacity to be stimulated. Things like physical abuse, sexual abuse, that sort of thing.
I started when
They desensitized themselves.
They desensitized, kind of. What's that, John?
I started when I was early.
How old?
Like 13.
That's probably it. You've seen all kinds of
I mean, we don't really even know the full implication of the way the internet is these days. You know, 13-year-olds find stuff.
Yeah.
No human's ever been exposed to it that age.
Well, the internet made the world a lot smaller. There's, like you said.
Just imagine if you had a magic box and you were 13, you could see any porn of any type, any time. Oh, be real, you'd still be there.
It's the crystal ball.
Yeah, it's the sort of...
That's kind of
right,
how it went, too.
Well, you know...
John, if you're troubled by this, it sounds to me like the relationship isn't working, and that's the reason you're feeling so overwhelmed and sort of pent up. But if you're feeling as though this is an addiction that you can't contain, then consult with somebody about it. See someone with experience treating a porn addiction. It's a common condition. They're suggesting that maybe as many as 300,000 people a year are getting addicted to online porn addiction. And it can really be a problem. People, they feel very ashamed. They tend to isolate. They tend to lose sort of track of work and relationships and eventually do weird stuff and get into weirder, more rousing kinds of things like you're describing, John.
What do you think she'll say if you asked her to do half of the stuff that you could do with her?
I've brought it to her, like, with milder stuff, not, like, the real wild stuff. Just, like, you know, maybe, like, another girl with only her or, you know, just different positions, different ways to do it. And, like, she doesn't seem into it. She's just, like, a dead fish, basically.
See, I just don't think he's into this relationship. I mean, when you've been with somebody since you were 16 or 15, you don't really know when it's over. You don't know how to end it. And I just don't know. John's got to work his way through this one. This is Marie. Marie or Marie?
Yes.
Was it Mari?
Mari.
Mari, what's up?
I have a question about my boyfriend. He has gotten bigger. His penis has gotten bigger. And I wanted to know if there is something that we could do, because I'm not changing. And
you want him to get smaller?
He's changing.
You want him to get smaller?
It's something like that, maybe.
Tell him to jump in a cold bathtub.
I don't think this is going to work.
Duct tape.
Duct tape. Mari, what are you asking? I don't understand.
I asked someone else about this, and they said that sometimes when men are really excited, they may be a little bigger than what they normally are. But it's, like, to the point where it's always this way, and...
How old is he?
How
old is he?
26.
And he's just kept on growing?
Very oddly. Is there something wrong? Or?
You know, some guys can get bigger when their position in life changes. Like if he becomes a president of a company or something, that to circulating testosterone levels go up, and there can be a little change. Has he been sort of moving along in his career or something?
Yes.
What's he doing now?
He has an album coming out in...
He's out in front of people all the time. So, see, you have to make him fail. Make sure he fails and things will go deflate back to their normal proportions. But that is an interesting thing, and it's never been fully documented, though I've heard people talk about this. You know, women complain about this, and there's always an association there with these guys being more successful. And what has been proven is that the more powerful a man becomes, the more higher the position of authority, that sort of thing, the higher circulating testosterone levels get. And it makes sense there'd be some changes with them as well with that.
Chemistry in the body.
That's right.
101 right here. Loveline.
This is Loveline. That's Be Real. We're going to take a break and be right back. Here we are with more Loveline. Be Real from Cypress Hill in the studio. Our phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And this, whoops. Oh, my goodness.
Oops.
This should be Mike. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Hi. I'm uncircumcised, and my skin is kind of loose up there, and tight up there, and I was wondering how I can loosen it.
So the head of the penis doesn't come out? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That is usually caused by recurrent sort of trauma to the foreskin, like you tear it and stuff, and so it scars and shrinks, and then as the penis comes out, it tears again and shrinks again, and that's actually an indication for circumcision. So that's how you loosen it. You have a circumcision.
Under the knife.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Ouch.
Another satisfied
customer. It hurts, but you know, hey, deal with it.
Sandra, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you? I was just listening to you, and I was listening on how you said that if a man's testosterone is at a higher circulation, that his, or because of his confidence, his penis could get larger.
Well, I don't want to seem that it was that clear cut. That it's been shown that men, as they develop in positions of authority and whatnot, their testosterone, circulating testosterone, does go up. And I have had people report, this has never been proven, there's no medical literature about this, that the size of the male's phallus will increase with that too. It's not an uncommon call like we just had. And every time I ask them, you know, is the guy just doing, so, you know, he just became a senator. Well, there you go.
Drew, be honest.
Confidence and swagger.
What's
you're,
that?
You're talking about yourself, I think.
And it's myself, too. And me too. And me too, don't forget. But
is
I have heard about
that. Is documented with females?
Like, well,
if they become high in society?
No, because testosterone actually reduces all that in women. However, if your estrogen levels are up, say you take a birth control pill with estrogen, some women do get a significant amount of breast growth.
If that was true, Paris Hilton would be at least a B cup, I think.
What's the matter, Sandra? What's happening?
Pardon?
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I was just taking it in. I was wondering if you became higher in society, if it would boost your estrogen circulation as well, because it could possibly potentially.
Now you got to think in terms of what this all did in nature when man lived in the jungle, you know what I mean? When an alpha male was taking position, he needed to be more aggressive and more, you know, and have more prowess, and his body would circulate more testosterone. And when a female, there's no such sort of biology or sort of anthropology there like that.
As you go to a doctor.
Right, and you can take estrogen in the form of birth control pill and whatnot, and that will increase your breast size sometimes.
I was meaning saline and, you know.
Oh, I see. Get a surgery. Yes, there's that too. All right?
All right, thanks.
Well, you're laughing. What are you thinking?
Oh, no, I was just laughing at the comments in the background.
Okay. All right.
You know, sometimes when they do go through that surgery,
yes,
they come up in positions of power too.
Gabby, what's up?
It's in reverse.
Or they managed to hook up with those guys in position of power.
Exactly.
Gabby.
Hi. So me and my boyfriend have been going out for 3 years since freshman year. We're seniors now. And we're just getting to the point where everything's really normal for us. And, nothing's really exciting anymore. Like, I don't know, it's really kind of getting weird. And we were thinking about taking a break, and I don't know if that will help us or make things worse.
Like I was just saying in the last segment, that at your age, you really don't know when a relationship has ended. You don't know how to end it. You don't know what to do about it. When you're 25, these relationships will wrap up in about 6 weeks. Boom, be done, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Now it feels like, oh my God, I'm married all this time. It's I can't live without this person.
The attachment.
Just go ahead and let it go. It's okay. Things are supposed to break up. Are you going away to college or something?
Well, we're both going to stay in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he actually got into a university, but he has a scholarship for community college, so he's going to stay.
Maybe if he went, maybe this will free him up a little bit to move on in his life a little bit too. This clinging to those relationships from high school is almost never a good thing.
They run their course.
They run their course. They're supposed to run their course. Lily.
Hi.
What's happening?
I had a question about a clit piercing. I haven't gotten it yet, but I was thinking about it. I was wondering if it caused more sexual arousal for myself.
As opposed to whom?
As opposed to, like, you know, more for me rather than the opposite sex, because I was wondering if it, like, made me come faster or...
What would it do for the opposite sex?
I mean, some guys say they like it because it looks really nice. And they like, you know, licking it because it causes the girl to have more pleasure. So I wasn't sure if that was true or not.
Well, you're taking it back to you again. What in the world would that do for your partner?
I don't know. I was just
thinking. All right, forget about it for the partner. It's doing nothing for him.
Okay.
For you, it's doing nothing as well, as a matter of fact. Some women do report some increased arousal for a while, and then there's desensitization. Then they have kind of a shutdown after that. So, and we finally got the guy called a couple weeks ago who's lost his whole penis to an infection from a penis piercing.
Ooh,
and had actually had to excentrate part of his pelvis to dig out all the infection.
Ooh.
So that is something that happens when you put a foreign body through body tissue. So if you want to put yourself at risk of losing your orgasmic function and maybe get an infection, go. Hey, good times.
And also, I have a tongue ring piercing, and I was wondering if was that make a guy get harder or come faster with that? I mean, I've heard different sides of the stories where they say it's okay. Some say where it feels better than a regular tongue. You know.
It's an accessory.
How much better do the guys need it to feel? Seriously, be real.
Yeah.
Be real.
No, yeah, it really doesn't, you know.
Lily, what are you doing? Lily, what the hell?
I don't think a tongue piercing, you know.
Makes a damn bit of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It does tell a guy you're sort of open for business.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it's the welcome into the mouth accessory.
Right. But again, none of this stuff does it. Listen, you can't do anything more for guys, basically. You really can't. I mean, if he's actually into that girl. You know what I mean? If he's actually truly into her.
Well, you know, some dudes are into that. You know, there's no doubt about it. Some people are into the, you know, that whole deal. But other dudes, I would say, don't care either way.
But
the fact that
the guy's
chick's mouth is on their penis is enough.
What do you think the guys are getting out of it? I'm curious. Maybe they ought to call in with this. The guys are into their female partner being pierced. What are they getting out of that? Other than anything different than a guy liked a girl to dress a certain way.
I think it's hype.
You know what I mean? But think about it. If you like a girl that dresses a certain way or has a certain style, I could see that. Piercing, same kind of thing, but really sexually, not doing much.
When you remove the two front teeth, it makes it feel a whole lot better.
I bet.
He's been watching gummy bear pornos.
That's what they do in Africa, I think.
What?
They remove the two front teeth. There's a certain tribe that did that, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it was for oral sex.
Nicole, what's up?
It's hot.
Yeah. Hey, Nicole.
Yes?
What's up?
I'm just basically calling because my boyfriend and I have been together we were together for a year, and then we broke up recently, and we haven't been together for about a month, but we still have been sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really confused because I've noticed that his behavior towards me is really different. There's been a couple times when we have had sex where I've noticed that he gets off on weird things. Like the other night we had sex and he shoved his fingers up my butt really hard and then got off on that right away. And I don't know, like, what the deal is with that, if he could possibly be gay or what.
He stuck his fingers up your butt and you're thinking he's gay. No, I think he got off on it because you let him do it.
Well, I don't know because it's really weird.
Okay, wait. Nicole, how long have you been with this guy?
I've been with him for a year.
Okay.
And he's in the military, so it kind of freaks me out. We've been broken up for about a month and he just, I don't know, he's being different and I'm all confused right now.
All right, you need to hear from a guy. Be real. Straighten her out. What is this guy up to?
I don't know. Maybe,
it's nothing to do with the gay, okay? Nothing to do with that.
Maybe she sold him the whole farm too fast or something.
Well, okay, let's sort of reason this out a little bit. First of all, he's showing her some stuff. You know what I mean? This is in him.
Some new things.
Yeah, this is not as though he's been sort of, this stuff has been held in reserve. Okay, and now it's bringing it out. And so the question is he bringing it out because he's aggressive and feeling irritable and angry that they've been broken up? Or is he bringing it out because he's sort of feeling more comfortable and let's get going here. Let's go where I really want this to go. Yeah. And I think I have the feeling that he likes kind of overwhelming her. You know, he likes kind of seeing her.
Maybe,
you know,
seeing
swarm.
How far she'll let him go.
But I think
I mean, besides the you know, the normal sex.
But the fact that he does something very uncomfortable to her and that he gets off immediately suggests that he's into that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
It was really
think
weird.
About,
he's
think
trying
about what
to
that
break
guy,
you down.
Well, think about what that guy is. That's a guy who just likes seeing a girl kind of like hurting her with his penis, you know. Right?
Yeah. It was so weird. I don't know. And it's been kind of confusing because we've been doing the, like, thing where we hang out and then we don't see each other for a couple of days. And the other day when we went to eat, I felt really uncomfortable because I have strong feelings for him and I do care about him. But we're both really busy right now. We've been working a lot and our schedules are totally the opposite. And we hung out the other night and I was like, you know what, I want to get back together and everything. And he's been, like, real hesitant about it. But, like, 3 weeks ago, he was, like, all for it. Now, all of a sudden, he's against it. And he's been hanging out with his friends, partying a lot. He's just acting really different.
Maybe he found a chick who will let her stick his fingers in her butt and not be so uncomfortable.
Also, he's getting the best of all possible worlds here. He's got you coming after him like a puppy dog. He gets to hang out with his friends, and he has wild sex with you. I mean, he's things are fine for him.
Things are great.
I don't know. And then, is it weird if, like, I've done that to him before where I've kind of stuck mine up his before?
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Okay, all right.
A lot thickens here.
This is what I'm getting to. Like, I've stuck mine up his before, and he really, like, I think he really likes it because he usually gets off right away when I do that. That's why I'm curious as to whether there's a possibility that, you know, he could be.
No, stop. Don't go down that path.
That's why she asked that in the beginning. She didn't mention that at first. She barely mentioning that now, but...
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the sexual preference, Nicole. Nothing.
No, are you sure?
Well, what were you doing fooling around back there if you thought it was something that only a gay male would like?
Maybe she told him to do it. I mean, he told her to do it or something. Did he tell you to do it?
No, I just did it.
All right, so what let me test this, see if he's gay? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I just tried it. I was just like...
Maybe that's why he's acting funny. Maybe he, you know, maybe he's tripped out about that.
Nah.
Do you think that, because after that had happened, we stopped having sex because obviously he got off and I didn't. And we waited because I wanted to get off, so we were going to try to do it again. And I waited a while because I know sometimes, like, you can't go right away. So we waited a while, and then we tried it again, and he couldn't get up. And he's had problems with that before where he can't get up.
That's maybe that's obviously probably why he's, you know,
freaking out a little bit.
You know, creating a little distance between them or something.
It could be when Nicole puts a little heat on the guy. It's like, okay, it's been 5 minutes. Let's go. Here we go. Let's go.
Another round. Get it up. Come on.
And some guys, it can take a couple hours. And Nicole, you weren't really. Yes. Even in the 20s.
Is it a mental thing? Like, maybe.
No, men have refractoriness. There's a biological period after which they cannot, or before which they cannot have an erection. Not without something like Viagra or something to make it go.
Right. Okay.
Oh, Nicole, we need like a life 101 class for Nicole.
Yeah.
Really. Don't you think?
It's very twisted.
Don't you have any friends you can talk to or something where you can sort of sound these things out and rethink them through a little more carefully?
Yeah.
You sound so bewildered and lost.
I have a friend that I was talking to at work, one of my guy friends. I was talking to him about it.
There you go. Yeah,
like,
you need to talk to some guys.
He told me that. Oh, he's got to be gay because no straight guy would let you do that.
That's a guy. Okay. You, women, unfortunately, need like a male sort of you know, his own, her own chirpa to sort of guide her through life with around males. Because here's what that guy's doing. That guy likes Nicole.
That guy likes Nicole.
He wants to get them to break up.
Yeah.
I'm right?
And I don't think your boyfriend would be too cool with you telling another guy
the
you
whole
stuck
thing,
your
yeah.
fingers up his butt.
Well, you
That's
said ask for
not
male
cool.
advice, so I asked the male.
Yeah, but I'm just
advice.
Saying that guy's trying to break you up so he can swoop in.
If that guy wanted to, he could go spread the rumor around that you stuck your fingers in.
I'm suddenly understanding why Cosmo writes these articles.
Yeah.
Because there's always another Nicole out there. And by the way, what you're going to read about in those magazines is total BS.
I can't believe she's not pregnant yet.
Yeah. No. No, that's not going to happen, Nicole.
Not with that guy.
Because
no.
he's in her butt?
Whatever.
No, she seems like the type that's clueless and pregnant.
No, somehow I don't get the pregnancy thing.
No.
She's too freaked out, too, you know.
Yeah.
She wants the sex, and he does not want it enough.
All right, Nicole, we've talked enough. All right?
All
Good
right.
luck. All right, take care now.
Bye.
Good luck. Oh, man. Because you need it. Jeremiah.
Hi there.
What's happening, buddy?
I have a question about colon cleansing.
Yeah.
And these ladies in my work who got it done, and they said it's like a natural, holistic way of detoxifying your body.
Let me ask you some gentle questions. What does detoxifying mean?
Well, just like, you know, like if you take wheatgrass.
What is a toxin? Chemical formula. Tell me the chemical formula of a toxin. What does that mean?
I don't know. You're the doctor. That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's
you.
The point. There is no such thing as that. There's no okay. such thing. And the colon, your colon, the tube from your mouth to your anus is a tube that's outside your body. It's designed through hundreds of millions of years of evolution to do what it does, which is to die. All the colon does is take water out of stool. That's all it does. It just absorbs the water, so you end up with a nice hard stool at the end. And it is outside your body. So to put a hose up there and clean all the things out of your body that are already outside your body makes absolutely no sense. And when people have colonoscopies, you know, we go and look around up there for cancers and stuff. To do a colonoscopy, every speck has got to be out of there. And so we clean people out all the time. Doesn't make them feel better. It's not a good thing for them. It's not making them detoxified. Just...
It's necessary
just
for take, the...
It's just taking everything out so we can look around. Now, why would it all of a sudden become something good for you if a cleansing person does it? Doesn't make any sense. Just reason it all through.
It's all about money.
It's all about money. And speaking of which, that's here's Mike. What's up?
Hello?
What's going on, Mike? You're on Be Real.
What's up? Be Real. I just want to know about when's the Kush project going to get started?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question. Everybody's on, you know, different schedules. The Fear Factory guys, Raymond and Christian, they're on tour. Stefan, you know, he's on and off the road with the Deftones. I'm at home working on a solo record and whatnot. I mean, you know, we've been trying to get it together for a long time. Eventually, I think we will. You know, it's just about everybody's label letting each other, you know, do the record. It's, you know, a lot of politics and all that stuff. But once we get past the politics, you know, we'll put out an amazing record for all of you out there that have been waiting for it, if
yeah,
you've been
I
waiting.
I got you guys on MySpace, and I got your four songs. They're, like, the best, like, songs I've ever heard, especially Light
oh,
It
you
Up.
You got songs you can
like,
get? New songs on MySpace?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there's on our Cypress page and on the Kush page, wow. You know. Most of those pages you can download, you know, the preferred song that whatever artist or group may want you to listen to huh. or, you know, spread the word about, whatever, you know.
Nice.
All right,
Mike. Okay, buddy, take care. Right. This now is Mason. What's up, Mason?
Hey.
What's happening?
Probably about 4 months ago, I was just sitting around, and it feels like my testicles tremble. Like, and it only lasts for 2 seconds, maybe happens, it only happens, like, not even that much, but I was just wondering, like, because it happens maybe 3 times a week.
What, like a spasm or something?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just, like, they kind of, like, shake, and, like, you can almost feel it. I mean, so I was kind of wondering what was going on with that.
Both sides equally or just one side?
Well, it's almost, like, in the center behind them.
Center behind them. And if you put your hand down there, can you feel something flicking around?
Yeah.
You think that's something in the spine, like the nervous system or something like
well,
that?
Well, there's something called the cremasteric muscle, or cremasteric reflex, with those, the muscles that pull you up like a landing gear when you get in the cold pool and stuff.
Right.
Those muscles can get a little spasmy and funny sometimes. So right. I imagine it's something.
I haven't done, like, anything irregular, so I didn't know.
I can't, you know, it makes me wonder, is there a hernia or could there be something else going on? But nothing really I can think of, Mason, okay?
Uh-huh. I mean, like, cause, like, I can feel down there and it all feels fine. I mean,
good.
And it's
keep checking yourself because testicular cancer is common in your age group. So there you go. Josie.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hi. I have two questions. One of them is for B-Roll and the other is for you, Drew.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I love you, Drew, but B-Roll, my hero.
Thank you.
The first question that I have for B-Roll is I write a lot. It's spoken word and lyrical poetry. But in order to kind of get creative, I smoke, like, huge amounts of weed. And I just wanted to know, like, how instrumental that is, like, in your process, if at all. And also, is there an alternate way to kind of get into that state without...
Well, really, you know, I try not to use it as a creative crutch, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is, a crutch.
When I smoke, it's strictly for, you know, leisure, pleasure, whatever. I don't use it to be creative. A lot of the times I'll come up with the ideas to the songs before I smoke, or I might not even smoke when I'm writing the song. You know, so back in the day, yeah, I think I did because, you know, it was... just a part of the way we were making music, you know. We'd all smoke out and come up with things, but, you know, as our careers and progressed in the music industry, we just, you know, we became, you know, real artists that didn't need that as a crutch to make the music. So I would think, you know, you don't need it to be creative. Sometimes it'll give you a good idea or help you be creative, but I don't think you really need that. And I think it's all in the state of whatever state of mind you're in before you, you know, go in to try to be creative. Yeah. You know, I think that's what it is, because I can't say that it helps me be any more creative than I would be if I wasn't smoking. You know,
okay.
That's just something for pleasure.
Okay, and then Dr. Drew, to compound the problem with the weed, I'm also taking, like, huge amounts of diet pills.
Oh, so you're an amphetamine addict also.
Right. I don't know if there's amphetamine in it, but...
Diet pills are amphetamine.
Okay, so, yeah, and I just wanted to know, like, what... I know I'm doing, like, damage to myself, and it's... But I just wanted to know, like, exactly what damage I'm doing, and is there any way to just go and get, like a body test and find out exactly how...
What difference will it make? You know you're hurting yourself, you're damaging the brain, particularly the limbic area, and eventually you'll get paranoid and psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have all the other usual manifestations of addiction, which is that your relationships will be destroyed and your work will be destroyed and your financial situation will be destroyed and your health will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no brain scan or no scanning is going to change any of that. That's what's happening and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're ready to deal with it, you need to get treatment. It's not going to stop on its own. Amphetamine addiction is profoundly difficult to treat.
Get off the amphetamines, get a diet, and go to the gym.
So there's, like, actual treatments for this? Like,
yeah, you're a drug addict, Josie. You got to get treated.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing big doses of amphetamine. You're a drug addict. You know, speed freaks, tweakers,
yeah.
That's all. That's you.
And also, like, I'm concerned about the liver. Like, is that... I don't know why that...
What,
I
Josie,
focus on that.
You're focusing... You're not being rational. You are damaging yourself. Now, let's do something about that.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank
right.
you.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Be Real in the studio with us tonight. It is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Be Real, and we'll be right back. 350vault.com, vault350.com, rather. Cinco de Mayo celebration with Cypress Hill, yeah?
Yes, indeed. One more.
Outstanding.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
Did you, Corey, get the other dates these guys are going to be out on the road?
Yeah.
Here we go.
They're going to be at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. And that's May 27th, and then July 17th at the Bonnaroo Festival, which is in Manchester, Tennessee.
Yes.
There you go.
Manchester, Tennessee. You know,
10 I see. I see 10.
And this is Jane. What's up, Jane?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing. I was just calling to say hi to Be Real.
Hello.
And Be Real, would you mind giving a shout out to TJ?
To TJ, what's up?
TJ, say, Tijuana, Mexico.
Hey, what's up to all the people out there in TJ? You know, love you guys. Thanks for all the support, and be careful out there. It's crazy. You hear about that new law they got going on over there?
In TJ?
Yeah.
What's that?
They decriminalized small amounts of marijuana, cocaine, and heroin.
Wow.
Possession.
Oh.
In Tijuana.
Oh. It's crazy.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
It's the new Amsterdam.
Yes. Watch the news, young lady.
Tijuana will be the new Amsterdam.
Well,
no, it's definitely like that now.
I mean, just not in terms of the overall appearance and vibe, but just in terms of the drug laws.
The acceptance, the drug laws and the acceptance. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
So what's up, Jane?
Well, I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew, like, I've never had a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, you know? And, like, I mean, I have had sex and I have had dated guys and stuff. But all the guys that I, like, date or, like, have girlfriends or married or, like, way older.
Why are you so fat?
No. So do you just like guys that are not available, so it's sort of safer?
I guess so. I mean, because I'm not really looking for a boyfriend. I just, like, I don't know if it's, like, there's something psychologically wrong for me for always liking older guys or I don't know, allowing myself to date married guys and stuff like that.
You're allowing yourself to be the side sauce, the spare rib.
Why are you so fat?
No. So what? Is there anything about your history we should know that helps us understand why you choose these kinds of guys?
Well, no. I mean, the only thing that I can probably relate to it is that my dad is like 15 or 16 years older than my mom.
Did he cheat on your mom?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
She laughed.
Did she cheat on him?
No. They've been together for 25 years.
Huh. All right. Well, there you go. I think maybe there's something more going on, though, because it's not just the age of these men. It's the fact that they're not available.
Why are you so fat?
Anderson has his opinion, obviously. Are you fat?
Well, I don't know. It's like the oldest guy I've ever dated is 48.
Yeesh.
Whoa.
And
she's looking for daddy.
Yeah.
And the youngest guy I've ever slept with is probably like 26.
Were you close with your dad or not so close?
Yeah, we're like best friends.
I'm kind of like chunky.
Anderson dropped lots of hints, but Jane's not good digging.
Think she's looking for the daddy experience?
Yeah, she is. And she even equates it with that, obviously. But I don't know, the fact that they're all so unavailable and she doesn't actually have relationships with them is what I'm struggling with. But I don't know, Jane. I mean, go out and have a relationship. Try that first. With an older guy, fine. If that's what really flips your cookie, then fine. This is Virginia.
Hi, Drew. Basically, I'm 22 years old, and my boyfriend's 27. And when we have sex, I mean, it lasted probably about 7 minutes, maybe, if I'm lucky.
All right.
And he's, like, really fast, and I've tried different things.
Well, wait, 7 minutes is about average.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Are you sure it's 7 minutes? Maybe it's, like, 30 seconds. It seems like seven minutes.
Well, I mean, okay, let's put it this way. If there was something in the Guinness Book of World Records, he'd win it.
Now, the Guinness Book of World Record is the guy that ejaculates just at the point of insertion, and there are plenty of those guys.
He's very excited.
Well, basically,
is that off of every round? Like, let's say you have sex twice in one night. No.
Wait, there's no such thing as twice in one night.
Why not?
Like, I don't know.
Well, obviously, this guy makes you very happy, and he really works with you. And
hey, Virginia, if Minuteman was in the dictionary, would his picture be in there, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
It'd be under Brian. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm sorry for you, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for you. Whichever Brian it is out there.
It's just like, okay, but see, the thing is that I'm pretty tight, so I don't know if that's another reason why.
No. It's you guys just aren't sort of gelling for some reason. If he were willing to work with you, he'd find a solution to this. He'd make this work.
How long you guys been dating?
A year and a half.
And it's been like that the whole year and a half, and sometimes worse.
The first night we ever had sex, it actually lasted for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And what happened, I don't know. I mean, it was more like touchy-feely stuff, compassionate things. But now it's just like wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. and I feel that way.
There's no more foreplay.
What do you mean he lasted for 4 hours? He was having
foreplay.
Right. You're sort of confusing foreplay with intercourse. So why don't you ask him for more foreplay?
Well, see, like, I do. And, like, I mean, I wash and everything before we even get into that, and so does he, you know?
Does he do oral sex with you?
Yeah, but not, like, he'll do it for, like, a minute or two.
Virginia, this just isn't working for you. This guy doesn't really sort of break it down and respond to what you're...
How do I, like, get him to do that? Because, like, I want to be with this guy for the rest of my life, regardless.
Oh, boy. Yeesh.
Get the buckets and...
Here's what you do. You get very... Guys love. Guys appreciate direction. So you get down and get very specific with them. Here's what I need. This is what's going to make me happy. And, not sort of almost, haha, isn't this funny? No. Hey, this is what's got to be. I need you to do this and this and this. Nope, that's not enough. I need the following. And do that. He'll be fine with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I try and be, demanding when we're doing it. You know,
I'm not demanding much as direct.
Yeah, you cannot be demanding.
Yeah, demanding seems to become...
That's a turnoff.
It becomes sort of demeaning at a certain point. What?
Well, no, not... I don't mean to be, demanding, but it's I want it this way, or, I want to have it this way, or can I do it this way? You know, it's just, I try and, vision things that I've seen, on HBO or something, you know?
It's the expectations. She's watching too many movies and seeing all those great love scenes. Why can't it be like that for me?
I don't know.
I do find myself doing that.
Have you had other boyfriends?
Yes, I have. And, I've had, my ex-boyfriend before, he was huge. He used to go forever. And, it was, the greatest. But the relationship itself was very unhealthy.
You tell your present boyfriend that?
Did I tell who?
Your present boyfriend?
Yeah, he knows about my past relationship.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah,
He's
got to live up to that.
15 minutes down to 5.
He's got to live up to that. You put a lot of pressure on him.
Pressure. That's the thing. I understand that, I understand pressure. And it's just that I can't even concentrate. I can't even not.
I don't think she can concentrate on anything. She doesn't sound very bright. And
what if you can't concentrate? Anderson, you're just sort of offended by her.
Maybe she's talking about him.
See, this is another thing, too. We live in his parents' house. So it's not like I have the ability, silent and, buy my pillow or something, just something else, and I don't know, we try to go to hotels, and it's just we fall out. We go to sleep right away. So we don't even get the chance to actually have wild
sex. Sounds like you guys ain't compatible for nothing.
That's what it seems like to me, too. It does not sound like a good situation, but I don't know. What are we
to say? After a year, if you're not having good sex with your, partner.
Here's the perfect solution. Oh, get married, hang out for another 10 years, then things will get much better.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mike.
How's it going?
What's up there, buddy?
Nothing. I just have a quick question. Basically, I'm 20 years old, and I've had a few partners, sexual partners, but I have a trouble. I can't, if I wear a condom, I don't feel anything at all.
You could become Virginia's boyfriend. She'd love that.
Yeah.
There's Virginia.
We were just talking to her for the last half hour.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very intriguing conversation.
What can I do for that? I don't know.
Practice? Masturbate with a condom on, that kind of thing. Get used to wearing condoms, because you really got to wear condoms. It's sort of no choice in the matter.
Yeah. Is there a specific, condom out there that's super, super thin or sensitive?
Maybe the chicks that you're getting with are just super wide.
Well, not
there are different, you ought to try some different sort of types out there, and they're ultra-thin types, but I'm not so sure that people feel much different with them. You can try them. Try the different things. And make sure the different fits. Let me try larger and smaller. Some people, here's a little trick. You can put a lubricant on the penis and then put a magnum on, which has actually got a little more room at the tip.
Uh-huh.
And just the movement of the condom will sort of help give you a little more stimulation.
Okay, now on normal condoms, is there lubrication already inside the condom?
No, it's outside.
Oh, maybe that's what I should try.
Yeah.
All right,
you got to be very careful with that because the condom can slip off, so you just want to put the lubrication on the tip.
I was just going to tell you that.
Yeah, and so in any case, you should be really watching the base of that condom, make sure it doesn't slip off, all right?
All right.
All righty.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
tight.
Do you know Magnums are actually not bigger? There's more volume at the tip.
Hmm.
The Magnum XLs are bigger.
Hmm.
Ask me how I know that. This is Ron. What's happening, Ron? Ron.
Hello?
What's up, buddy?
I just had anal sex with this dude about an hour and a half ago.
Whoa.
And I penetrated him without a condom.
Yeah.
And when I went to, you know, after I went to pee and wipe off, I looked really clean. Like, all that was on me was lube, but then the white tissue came away really red.
Red?
And yeah, he said he bled. I think, you know, he bled.
You're gay.
And, well, I am circumcised. I mean, and I didn't have any cuts on me at all or abrasions.
Yeah.
And then, I showered, and, you know, I peed, too, you know, and I washed off. But I'm just wondering what the chances are of, you know, transmission. I think he was positive. And
you do? Seriously?
Yeah, I think I've heard that, you know, that you're most likely to get it within the first 2 weeks of exposure if you are going to get it.
Yeah, why'd you have unprotected anal intercourse?
I went to this place, I had a condom in my pocket, but it just happened so fast. You know, he just put me in him. And
you knew, and you think he's positive?
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Really?
And you did that?
Whoa,
I'm shocked.
It was just really, you know, I went prepared, too, with condoms and everything, but...
All right, well...
Let's check the common sense meter on the wall, Drew.
It's not reading. It must be broken.
It must be broken.
Yeah.
Ron, here's the deal.
I had a case of urethritis about more than 10 years ago. You know, and I was freaking out about that because the condom broke and that's probably what caused it.
Well, this is a much more serious situation.
Yeah.
And it's sort of number two after being the receptive partner in anal intercourse in terms of transmissibility. So in other words, being the pitcher rather than the catcher is still high risk for HIV transmission because of the bleeding and because the virus attaches to the lining of the urethra, not the skin. Yeah. The breaks in your skin and the penis don't mean anything.
Right.
It gets into the urethra. So, Ron, if you know that he's positive, is he under treatment?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's hope his viral load is at a minimal because, again, transmissibility is affected by how much circulating virus is around.
Well, he didn't have any outward symptoms. He just had a high fever. Like, he was really, you know, warm.
Well, what the hell are you talking about?
Are you
about?
Talking about, like, right now? He was,
that
like...
about an hour ago.
What does fever have to do with him having HIV?
No, I mean, you're saying let's hope his, like, viral load is low. I mean, isn't that, like, chronic fever one of the symptoms of that?
No, I'm asking if he's on antiviral medication to suppress his viral production.
Yes.
I'm hoping that for your case. In either case, you need to get yourself to an infectious disease consultant, and there are treatments that they can give you that can reduce the risk that the virus will take hold.
That guy must have been really, really hot, Hondra.
I don't know.
He must have been really, really hot.
I kind of don't believe the whole thing, but be that as it may, if someone believes they've had a genuine HIV risk, there's a whole protocol. For instance, when people get needle sticks from HIV patients, there are things you take to reduce the risk of the transmission.
Right.
So you should tomorrow, Ron, I am deadly serious about this, get yourself to an infectious disease consultant, get on antiviral meds, and maybe you can dodge this bullet.
Ron will probably be banging him again, like, in an hour. Sounds like he's...
Listen, Ron needs to have a little conversation with somebody, and I hope he gets himself to a doctor.
You better grab those condoms out your pocket, pal, and use them.
He ought to just wear condoms all the time if he doesn't can't quite get his HIV positive guy in front of him. He can't quite take the energy to roll the condom over his penis.
Attach the dispenser.
Condom loader, man. I've been telling the Trojan people, invent the condom loader that just loads condoms on guys like this.
Yeah.
1-800-LOVE-191. Be real in the studio. Dr. Drew here. We will be right back. Anderson, that is not funny. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Be Real from Cypress Hill. They're going to be at Vault 350. You can check out vault350.com. It's a Cinco de Mayo celebration in Cypress Hill. And you can also check out, what are your websites where you can find out where you guys are going to be?
BeRealOnline.com. Or the Cypress Hill MySpace.
Here's Maria. What's up, Maria?
Hi. I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up sometimes in the morning, my vagina really, really hurts. Like, it feels like somebody punched me there or something.
What? So it's not burning, it's sore?
No, it feels like somebody punched me.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
Sarah Silverman? I don't know what that would be. Are you sexually active?
Well, not really, not right now, no.
Do you ever have any, like, swelling or abscesses or discharge or sores or anything down there?
No.
And it's only in the morning, the rest of the day you feel fine?
Yeah, like, when I wake up in the morning, it feels like, I don't know, like I have a bunch of bruises down there or something. It depends what, like, it's like, not every morning, it's like, let's say, once a month or something.
Hmm. Sounds like the movie The Entity.
No horseback riding or anything?
Oh, hell no. No.
I don't know what the heck that is, Maria. I mean, I would worry that it's something wrong, something vaginally going on, like a yeast infection or something, but...
There's a ghost having his way with her in her sleep.
And I think about it, there's something... There's a rare syndrome called the Gardner-Diamond syndrome or the painful bruise syndrome where people wake up with bruises. And that's probably people self-inflict, the kind of thing. You ever do any night terrors or any weird sleep disturbances?
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, when you have that, have somebody go see a doctor, examine it, and maybe we can figure out what that is. But I cannot, just off the top of my head here. Jose.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew?
What's happening, buddy? You're on with Be Real.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
We're good. What are you doing?
Nothing much. I just had a question for Be Real. I just want to know if he was going to be over at the Bears Cup this Sunday.
It's possible, but I think I'm filming a video this Sunday with my partner, Old Brown, for a new song he's got going on. So, I mean, I may be there, but most likely I'll be at that video.
This is the Hollywood place?
Yeah, Hollywood Sports. Yeah, well, it's called Hollywood Sports, but it's in Bellflower.
For people around the country who don't know this place, this is crazy. These places have these multi-acre lands, you know, almost like sound stages that people carry on paintball fights in.
Yeah, the Hollywood Sports, they definitely use Hollywood sound stages. That's why it's called Hollywood Sports.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There's Beirut. There's like a Star Wars.
Yeah, crazy. All that stuff. And it's a big park. It has a lot of different things going on there. They have indoors, not indoor, but it's like they have the basketball courts, the tennis courts, the volleyball courts, the soccer courts there, like a smaller...
It's like a giant recreational
giant
wonderland.
Rec park. It's great. It's a good place to take your kids.
But the paintball thing, my kids are going in there and doing paintball.
Wow, you got yourself some stuff.
I know. Martin, what's happening, buddy?
Oh, what's up, man?
Be Real.
Hello?
Yep.
Yo.
What's up, Dr. Joe? What's up, Be Real?
What up?
Well, first of all, I'm calling from Southgate, so...
Big up to Southgate out there, man.
Yeah. So, I thought it was real cool, you guys came up from... and stuff.
That's right.
Well, my question was, Dr. Drew, towards, today, me and my friends, in school, we got into, a conversation about, does foot size really, is there, a relationship between foot size and penis size?
I don't think so, no. There's probably something there between, hand and lamb and whatnot, but for the most part, I think it's pretty hard to reliably say there's anything.
It's probably just, it's the individual. Everybody's made different,
Because, I saw something on, TV where they said that there might be a relation between, hand size and, fingers.
Yeah, I know people have tried to correlate that kind of thing for quite some time, and there's probably something to it, but for the most part, there's really not much there.
Sounds like a Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, more of a Cosmo article.
Cosmo article, yeah. Something like that.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Jason.
Hey, Jason, what's happening?
Not much.
Go ahead.
I wanted to suggest... and a co-host for the show.
Go.
Anderson.
Anderson, what do you think?
It's my good friend. I paid him some cash.
Good job. I heard your little advertisement there for the cell phone thing, too.
Yeah,
well done.
I'm a sellout.
well done. All right, Cypress Hill, Be Real is in here with us tonight. It is Vault350.com. It's a Cinco de Mayo celebration. They've got some other events coming up. Check out their MySpace. In the meantime, we're going to take a little break, and we will be right back. Well, there we go. That puts another love line in the can. Be Real, thanks for coming, as always.
Thanks for having me.
I haven't seen Bobo here in years. It's
probably asleep somewhere.
I guess so, but I'd love to see him just to say hi. He can sleep here with us sometime. He can just sit in the chair there and sleep.
I'll bring him down the next time.
That's what you said last time. The guy just doesn't like us anymore.
I was thinking about calling him to meet me down here, but, you know, I knew he'd be asleep. Man.
Well, congratulations on all the new projects. That is great. And Cinco de Mayo, check these guys out at the Vault 350. This is in Long Beach, California. Vault350.com. If you have any questions about that, go to BeRealOnline.com if you want to know where these guys are appearing next. And we've got Godsmack coming in here tomorrow, and then Danny Bonaducci. Next week, Jeff Probst. So until then, be sure to tune in. Until then, I'll say goodnight and stay well.
My vagina really, really hurts.